This is the undiluted word of God. Listen and be blessed.
Our Father and our God, we thank you. Everlasting Father, we magnify your name. Eternal Rock of Ages, we exalt you. Lily of the Valley, we ascribe all praises, all dominion, all adoration, all power, all majesty, all dominion unto you. We thank you because there is none like you. We thank you because you are the Almighty God. We thank you for the power in the blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for our salvation. We bless your holy name, Almighty Jehovah, for the opportunity you have given to us to come together, to fellowship at your feet, O Lord, this evening. Eternal Rock of Ages, Ancient of Days, we ask that you take absolute preeminence in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit Divine, we ask that you take control in Jesus' name. We ask Almighty Father that there will be a communion between this altar and the entire host of heavens in the name of Jesus. We ask Almighty God that there will be a manifestation of your power in this place tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask, O Lord, that your glory and fire will fall in this place in the name of Jesus. Father, we are aware of the devices of the enemy, so we come against every power. We come against every principalities. We come against every prince, O Lord. We come against every altar, contrary to the purpose of God Almighty in this vicinity. Father, we ask, O Lord, that they are pulled down right now in the name of Jesus. We subjected every power to the blood of Jesus. We ask, O Lord, that in this place today, there will be manifestation of your power. And at the end, Almighty God, your name alone shall be glorified. And your people, every one of us, will not live the same because we are going to be blessed. Thank you, Eternal Rock of Ages. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let's sit down majestically in the presence of God Almighty. I want to say good evening to everyone, and I want to appreciate the opportunity given to me by the pastor and the entire leadership. I'm not taking this for granted. I pray that, sir, your ministry will not fade away. The Lord Almighty will continue to uphold you, strengthen you, and take you to the next level in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. This evening we're going to be talking about the blood of Jesus. And in seriously speaking, it is not possible to expound everything about the blood of Jesus. It is not possible in just the short time we have. But we'll try, and more importantly as well, I want us to pray with the blood, because it's very important that we understand. So today's Bible study is titled Efficacy of the Blood. And I will try as much as possible to break it down. And I wouldn't want us to also spend more time. I hope to stop shortly so that we can ask questions and contribute, then we can go into prayer. Because it's not enough to study about the blood, but it is more importantly to understand what the blood can do and how to pray with the blood. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking about the efficacy. I like the grammar when it was sent to me. And I was like, people will be asking, what is efficacy? I'm like, this is too big. When it comes to the word of God, I like simplicity. So when we talk about efficacy, we're talking about power. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Somebody say power. Power. Right. It is important for us to understand that that's one thing Jesus gave to every one of us. And also, it is important to understand that the currency that rules the world today is power. Without power, you cannot achieve anything, no matter how little it is. And I keep saying to people, if you think everything God created has power, try a soldier hand in your body. You will see the power that as little as a soldier hand has, that is God's own power. And everything God created also has authority. And everything exercised under that authority. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about efficacy of the blood, we're talking about the power in the blood of Jesus. And one thing about this title is that it was specific. It talks about the efficacy of the blood, which means it is directed to a particular blood, not just efficacy of blood. Praise the Lord. So I want us to get that understanding. So our opening verse is going to be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1 verse 7, it talks about the redemption that we have in the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. In him we have redemption. Hallelujah. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In this Bible passage, a lot of things is loaded there. The first one is redemption. The second one is forgiveness of sins. And then we talk about the riches, and then we talk about the grace. So we can see a lot of things that is embedded in the blood. So when we talk about efficacy, we're talking about the ability to produce results. If somebody is saying, what efficacy have you got? That means, what power do you have to produce a result? So when we talk about the efficacy, we're talking about the power. We're talking about the ability. What can you do with what you have? So it is the power that drive or propel an instrument, praise the Lord, to produce the expected result. But the blood of Jesus exceeded expected result, because you cannot fathom what the blood can do until you find yourself in a situation. So it is the power to produce result. That is what I want us to have about the understanding of efficacy. Then we move to the blood. What is the blood? When we talk about blood, what does blood mean to us? Like I said, I don't want to bore us with a lot of grammar. Blood is very simple. It's what makes you to move around. It's what carries oxygen in your body. So it is possible for you not to have certain things in your body, but it is not possible for you not to have a blood. So if you don't have a blood, you cannot survive. And let me correct this. Somebody was asking me recently, I can't remember where I was actually teaching some people, that I said everything has blood. I said yes. The person said to me that snail doesn't have blood. And I said that is lack of knowledge. Any doctor in the house? Does snail has blood? Snail does. Because in your blood, what makes your blood to move in your body is the liquid, is the water. So it is possible for blood not to be red if there is no hemoglobin. Am I making sense? Any science students? So it is the red hemoglobin that turns it to red, that makes it to change. So the one in the body of snail, we're not going to be doing science here, is also a blood that carries it. So let's get that understanding, that what makes your blood to be red is the red hemoglobin. Do we understand? Any doctor in the house, please? So that if I'm going off the track, you can say, no, you are not a science student, you don't know what you are talking about. But I come to that study in my process and understanding of reading my Bible, studying my Bible. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the blood, it is the one that circulates, that makes us to live. Without blood, we cannot survive. And that's why you will see that at any point in time, what NHS or any medical organization will always be looking for, they will be asking you, donate blood. Why? Donate blood. Because it is very, very necessary that when we lose blood, we are actually losing life. So blood is a lifeline. Praise the Lord. And that's why also, when you go to a crime scene, the first thing the investigators will be looking for, or any scientist investigator, is a drop of blood they'll be looking for in order to trace a criminal. You may be saying that, what about when they are looking for their hair? The hair cannot survive without the blood. So when they take the hair and they began to do their tests, they will still trace it back to the blood, because that is what will make them to be able to find the person. So it is very important. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 14. Leviticus 17 verse 14. The Bible says that, for it is the life of all flesh, that is the blood. Its blood sustain its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats shall be cut off. What it means is that, don't cook blood to eat. It's as simple as that. When you are eating it, it's more or less that you are eating life. That is what God was telling them there. Praise the Lord. So we need to have an understanding here that what we are now concerned about from these two words, efficacy and also the blood, were specific about the blood of Jesus. So when we talk about the efficacy of the blood, we're talking about the power in the blood of Jesus. So the first time that blood was mentioned in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis 3, 21, when God came to Adam and Eve and asked them, "What have you done?" They messed up because they realized that they were naked. And God decided to actually cover their nakedness. So one of the things that we can see then, it means that the blood is a symbol of restoration. He used it to cover their body so it can restore, so that they don't see their nakedness anymore. It can cover somebody's shame. Praise the Lord. That's what the blood does. It covers somebody's shame and nakedness. So because I want us to pray, I'm going to skip all this, my background. I'm going to move straight away to the blood of Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus has power to do? What does the blood of Jesus has power to do? We see the powers of darkness. They do a lot of sacrifices with animals, believing that they will do something for a man. I don't know if anybody come from the Aladura sect here. There is something, I won't go deeper into it, that they do when they talk about doing redemption for people, and it is done with an animal. The animal is tied down. I won't go into that Bible verse so that people won't be thinking, let me go and try it. The animal is tied down, and the Bible verse is read over a period, is chanted over a period of time over the animal. And when you come back in about 7 days, that animal will begin to dry as it is standing. Give that animal the food for the whole world. It will continue to dry. Then it will dry and it will die because the blood is going away. Don't ask me how that happened. I'm not going into some spiritual things. But that's what blood can do. And it can happen as well to a man. If the powers of darkness decide to deal with a man, they can suck the blood. Hallelujah. They can suck the blood because that is the source of power. I have a friend that experienced that. They charmed him because he was a high-flying guy. He was doing very well as a young man in the bank. And they felt the only thing to do is actually to attack him. And when they attack him, he began to lose his blood. And when they take him to the hospital, if they put God knows how many pints today, if they test him tomorrow, there is no more blood. I'm telling you the true life story. To the grace of God, he survived it and is now a pastor running his own church in Chicago. But it was a terrible time until he received his deliverance. So the powers of darkness understand that. So what can the blood do then, the blood of Jesus? The first thing is that it has the power to redeem us. It redeems us, as we have read in that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, because it said, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our sin. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, Hebrews 9, 12, the Bible says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. That's what Jesus did for us. Amen. Number two, he reconciles us to God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his own blood. And when I was reading this, I was having a chat with one of my friends one day, and he asked me, what do I think the blood of Jesus is? I said, the blood of Jesus is a joker. You know, when you play card, for those who play card, there's always a joker that once you bring out that joker, the game ends. I said, so the blood of Jesus is a joker. And when he asked me to explain, I said, it's like when you bring two people and you say to them that, what ability do you have to do a game or go into the forest and kill animal? And they began to kill different kind of animal. Maybe this one killed a rat, the other one killed a cat. Then that one upped the game, killed the dog. You know, the dog is bigger than a cat. And they were coming like that. And suddenly, one decided to kill an elephant. He brought the elephant. Then the other one said, okay, maybe the only animal remaining is a lion. And said, instead of me to go and kill a lion, what about if I kill myself? Is that not a joker? The other person will be scared. Okay, you try and kill yourself then. Praise the Lord. So that's why I said, He's a joker. When everything was wrong and it was the blood of bull and animal, he came forward and said, Lord, here I am. Sacrifice me for the redemption, for the salvation, for the peace, everything you can think about for the world. No man can do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So he reconciled us back to God because Adam failed. Amen. Number three, he pays our ransom. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And that's why when you look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, they were singing, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open the seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's why Satan lost the battle, because he was asked to provide blood. He could not. That was why I call it a joker. And Jesus did. Amen. Then he washed away our sin. Next one. 1 John 1:7. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's have that understanding. We're still talking about light. I don't want us to forget that. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 30, but no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten, it shall be burned in fire. What am I trying to say is that in the past of the Old Testament, everything is done with animal until Jesus decided to take up that area for us. The next one is that he forgives us of our sin. It is the blood of Jesus that can wash away our sin. Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified. I'm talking about Exodus and Leviticus now. Purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That was what was happening in the Old Testament. They have to make a peace offering. This different kind of offering with the blood of animals. Praise the Lord. So there is no freedom without the shedding of blood. And that is what exactly is going on in the world today. If you want your freedom, you must be ready to sacrifice. You can't see any nation that is independent without the shedding of blood. You've got to fight for it. And that's what Ukraine is trying to do. And until maybe the continent of Africa too is ready to pay a price, people will continue to pray. I'm telling you the truth. No bloodshed, no freedom, no liberty. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's where the Jews got it wrong. Because when they were asking Jesus a question, they were saying, when will kingdom be restored back to Israel? They were talking about world powers. But Jesus was talking about different things. If Jesus is with us today, he will be the most difficult person that a press or journalist will interview, because he doesn't answer questions directly. Hallelujah. Go and check the Bible. If you are asking Jesus this, he'll be telling you this, but the answer is in what he's talking about. Praise the Lord. One of my friends was saying that when Zacchaeus came to meet Jesus, he said he believed that pressmen were outside, waiting to hear what he's going to say. That they were outside waiting. And that's what they do today as well. They will be hiding everywhere just to make sure that somebody falls. They really want Jesus to fall. They really wanted him to fall. Now, who is this man? Who is this man? So forgiveness of sin, praise the Lord. The next one is that he frees us, as we read in that Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all things of the world. All glory in whom, who loves us and has freed us from our sin by shedding his own blood. The next one is that the blood speaks. The blood speaks. And that one is very simple. When we look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, that is the story of Abel. And in Hebrews 12:24. But I will just give you a very simple example. For those who don't pollute their mind, that's the word I'm going to use. For those who don't pollute their mind, when they are having a dream and they are being attacked, it's so simple that the blood will come. They will shout that name, blood of Jesus. But for those who have polluted their mind, they won't find it. Because you cannot give what you don't have. Whatever occupied your mind, whatever occupied your life spiritually, is what you will release when you are in a spiritual journey. It's as simple as that. So you will see somebody who is having a dream. I'm not a dreamer, but you will see somebody having a dream. They will come and tell you that when the event starts in their dream, they began to shout the blood of Jesus. And when they will wake up, the word is still in their mouth, still shouting that blood. So the blood speaks. Praise the Lord. So the blood speaks. So in that Hebrews 12:24, it says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, Exodus 12:13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses, on your houses, where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague of shall not be unto you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So the blood speaks. I'll tell us this, some of us, but let me just give us this as an example. You see, the powers of darkness, when they want to deal with someone, for those who can decode, they can put a blood on money, put it in an envelope, and send it to somebody. Now, if the person received it and opened it, if the person does not understand what it means for the blood to be on the money, then I'm so sorry that that person is a goner. Because it means death looms the person. Death is on the way. And it's also, if the person is getting involved into a matter that they are interested in, they are telling him, keep off. Because that is ours. Don't go near. Don't go near. If you have people who are in the cult, you can ask them if what I'm saying is true or not. Praise the Lord. So we need to have an understanding what the blood does. The next one is that it justifies us. In Romans 5:9, since therefore we have now been justified by the blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. That means the blood can stand for us when the accuser of brethren is standing as well. The blood can stand for us and justify us because we have been redeemed. Praise the Lord. We have been redeemed. So there is no accusation, no divination, no power should be able to stand against us to take control over our life and send us where we don't belong, because the blood justifies. The next one is that it cleans our guilty conscience. There are people that they don't understand what it means when they give their life to Christ. They believe that they have not been forgiven. And they do that over and over again. Hebrews 9:13-14. Hebrews 9:13-14. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. But think how much more the blood of Jesus will purify our conscience from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Then the next one is that he sanctifies us. Sanctifies us, Hebrews 13:12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. He sanctifies us, irrespective of whatever we think, how dirty we think we made. It sanctifies us. The next one is that it opened the way to the presence of God. It opens the way to the presence of God. Ephesians 2:13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus. And when we look at Exodus chapter 28, Exodus 28, 43, they shall be, now this is God giving instruction in the Old Testament. They shall be on Aaron and on his son when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister. I'm talking about the blood of goats and all that stuff. In the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. So before people die, you enter the holies of holies unnecessarily without being sanctified with the blood of goats and cow or whatsoever, people will die. But Christ gave us that freedom to be able to enter into the holies of holies by his grace. Hallelujah. The next one is that he gives us peace. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, 19 to 20. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Praise the Lord. I have two more left, then we can ask questions so that we can pray. Then it also serves as a covenant. It's a covenant. The blood is a covenant. So it is very dangerous for any one of us to go into covenant with blood. Very, very dangerous. I know the younger generation, sometimes they do that. They will say, oh, so that promise me, I promise you, this will happen. Then they go into a covenant. They cut this place of their wrist and put the blood together. That is a lack of understanding. God will help such a person to be able to deal with the situation in their destiny, because they don't know what they are entering into. Praise the living Jesus. So serve as a covenant. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25. After the same manner also, he took the bread cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. That is a powerful covenant. Praise the Lord. But that covenant that Jesus broke there by himself alone started as far as Exodus 24, verse 8. Exodus 24, verse 8. The Bible says, and Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people. That was a covenant that God gave them. And said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. That covenant was binding on them until Jesus came. And then he broke that covenant and gave us the opportunity, the grace, to enter into the holies of holies. Praise the Lord. Finally, the blood is the only thing that can make you and I to overcome the enemy. Without the blood, we cannot overcome the enemy. It's a tool, it's a weapon to fight. So when you see anyone or any people in the coven of darkness doing sacrifice or doing whatsoever, the reason for that is because they want to fight. It's as simple as that. So, and power supersedes power, so as blood supersedes blood. So the blood gives us the power to overcome the enemy. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, very popular Bible verse. But personally, anytime I'm reading it, I normally personalize it. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life to the death. What I normally see then is that, I always say that, and I overcome. Because of the blood. So that's how I normally personalize this. Amen. I overcome by the blood and by the word of my testimony. As much as the disciples and the saints have a testimony and the word, I do as well. I do. The word that they have, that they were able to speak as a testimony of the power of redemption that they used to conquer. You know, when we look at Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the disciples and he told them to go to evangelize, and he talked about the fact that if you enter any city, you enter any house, If they say peace be upon you, let your peace remain there. When they came back, I think in verse 16, if we can look at that, verse 16, thereabout, they now said to him that demons were being conquered. Then he said, yes, I saw Satan falling like lightning. That is the power. So we have the same. So if they can give that testimony, what is your own testimony? Or you think you don't have a testimony? You have a testimony. And for some of us, the only thing that will make anybody to come to Jesus is the word of our testimony when we speak to them. That this is what God has done. This is what the blood have done. And when people don't see proof, they are not ready. And that's what they did. There was proof that this is what the blood can do. So I don't know what proof you have. Praise the Lord. So before we go into prayer, does anyone have any question or contribution? That's the first one. And if anyone wants to share with us what you think the blood has done for you, especially when, you know, when things caught us unaware, what do you say? I know some people say, yay, that's not for me. The reason people will say yay is because that is what is loaded in their mind. Because you cannot give what you don't have. So whatever you load yourself with is what you release. If you don't have the word, I mean, it's like going into an examination hall. You are going to write an exam you didn't read. It's going to be zero. You are going to write nothing. So whatever it pollutes your mind is what you will use to fight when the enemy comes to you. Praise the Lord. Let's rise to our feet. I just want us to pray very simple prayer, prophetically. Hallelujah. We're going to say, I overcome every affliction. I overcome every temptation, every failure. I overcome the enemy by the power and the blood of Jesus. Let's turn that to prayer and say, Father, I overcome. I overcome. I overcome. I overcome. I overcome. Father, I overcome. I overcome every affliction. I overcome every failure. I overcome the enemies, every temptation. I overcome every sickness by the power in the blood of Jesus. 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 I overcome. I overcome. I overcome. I overcome every divination by the power in the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Say after me, I erase in faith every ordinances or divination against me and my family by the power in the blood. Let's pray. Let's turn that to prayer. I overcome in faith every divination, every ordinances by the power in the blood over my family, over my career. I overcome in faith. In faith, in the name of Jesus, every ordinances, every divination against me, by the power in the blood, by the power in the blood, by the power in the blood, by the power in the blood. Father, I overcome. I overcome, O Lord. In faith, I erase, O Lord, every ordinances, every divination. In the name of Jesus, mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, mighty name of Jesus. Kaleke sunte gegelege sentorima leke senteri kaya. In Dakayama Kao leke ye son toriba leke ye. In Darima leke son toriba leke son toriba leke sendeke ye. Kenezun teke ye ma santa riba leke ye ndeki baba. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want us to touch our head and just pray and say, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, over my career, over my business, over my children. In the name of Jesus, let's turn that to prayer. I plead the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Over my family. Over my career. Over my academics. In the name of Jesus. Blood 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 of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we plead the blood over our family. Over our children. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We're still praying with the blood. We're going to say by faith, I receive healing. Now, when I talk about healing, I'm not talking about your physical healing alone. It is possible for your business to be suffering. It is possible for your career to be suffering. And that's why I say you cannot fathom the efficacy, the power that the blood can release over anything. Hallelujah. So I want you to pray and say, Father, I receive healing. I receive healing through the blood of Jesus in my body, over my business, over my marriage, over my spouse, over my career, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. Father, blood of Jesus. In deriba leke senteriba lekeye, ka sonteriba leke senteria, in darima leke sontoriba baleke sontoriba balekeye, kende kenderiba baleke senteria. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Finally, when we were reading that Genesis 4, I said the blood of Jesus brings about restoration, because that was what happened. We want to ask for restoration. And when I say restoration, I mean restoration. That the Lord will restore you. Hallelujah. That's the final prayer point I want us to take. You want restoration. I don't know which area you want restoration. Might be your finances. You can't fathom what the blood can do. I want you to shout the blood of Jesus 3 times and say, Father, restore me. Let's go. One, two, go. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Ask for restoration in every area. Turn that to prayer. Restore me. By the power in the blood, Father, restore me. Financially, restore me, O Lord. Materially, restore me. Spiritually, restore me. Restore me, O Lord. Restore me. I receive restoration by the power in the blood. Father, restore me. Father, restore me. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, restore me. Ke sunteri ma leke sunteri ba leke senteri kan deke ye ma helege ye. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power in the blood. We thank you, O Lord, for the redemption. We thank you, O Lord, for restoration. We thank you, Lord, for justification through the blood. Father, even as we have prayed with the blood, I pray for everyone under the tone of my voice, wherever we go, Father, let the blood speak for us in the name of Jesus. Wherever our names be mentioned, in any corners of the world, Jehovah Almighty, let the blood stand for us in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive in faith, we receive in faith, restoration, healing, blessing, testimony beyond every human comprehension. By the power in the blood. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Oh, I know. We hope you've been blessed by the Word of God. The Word is brought to you by RCCG Power Connections, 236 Meanwood Road, Leeds, LS72AH. For more inquiries, you can call 078-513-3702 or send an email to info@rccgpowerconnectionsleeds.com. God bless you.